Aotearoa, the New Zealand Blood Bowl podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Aotearoa, New Zealand's premier Blood Bowl podcast. Here this evening we have Jesse Callaghan to talk to us about the PPC coming up later in 2024. Say hi, Jesse.
Kia ora, people.
Hey.
And also we've got our usuals, Mr. Toffer.
Hello.
And Mr. Duncan.
Hello, Tricky here. Oti poti.
Excellent.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I was going to say, jeepers, dude, bring some energy, will you?
He's had a hard day. He's had a tough old day down uh-huh. there on the Otago anniversary, you know.
All right, so what are we going to start with this evening?
Do we want to start with just the little bit of news that has been around?
News.
For Blood Bowl in general.
News. What's the news?
Yeah. Do you have Jardel Press, Bruce?
Oh, of course. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Quite cool. Yes.
Do you know what I like about that the most is that I still think it's a pretty good throwback to third edition Jardel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. With a
massive spike.
Yeah. It's suitably animated, as you'd expect for someone of his agility.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I've got this fairly horrible looking thing. I'll put it in the chat.
I do like how some of the early 90s stuff was kind of, well, it is 3D and you're like sort of 2D plus, I think, would be the way I would describe that.
Yeah, I do remember that one. Ooh, yeah,
it's not as nice.
I do remember
it's not,
that one.
It's not a classic second ed miniature, is it?
But it doesn't, it's got no dynamicism.
Dynamism, no. Yeah, well, I was going to say, to help describe to people on this audio-only recording, what you have is basically what looks like a human lineman with a big sort of Tina Turner hairdo. Yeah. I don't know. At no point does this look like an agile player.
No, indeed.
And, you know, you look at the new one. He's on one foot. He's got arm up in the air. He's ready to roll. He's got his toga or whatever swirling around
Jardels.
Him.
He has Air Jardels on as well.
He does.
Yeah.
I thought they'd be more sort of golden with, you know, an American flag on them, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this has got me going into all kinds of theories, because at the bottom you'll have noticed they didn't just say Elven Kingdoms League. They actually specifically said he can play for High Elf.
Yeah, they did. You're right. And, yeah, that's true.
Mm. Yeah, and we haven't had High Elf yet as a team, and I've been plugging for this box with the High Elves in them. And looking at the artwork, I'm not too keen on the artwork for him as much, but he looks like a kind of punky kid, you know, which is Jardel. I don't think he's a punky kid.
That's
the clean cut hero. But he's I do think, like, we might the next
so
drop
you,
just at some point.
You think that they've been listening to you? Up. Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Games Workshop maybe. Listening to the podcast, and they're like, Tricky's got a good idea there. We should do that. I reckon you're right.
I think that's exciting. And I don't know. I don't know. I just don't really understand how he fits into the whole, apart from the fact that I think High Elves were released on the computer. Not High Elves. Sorry, Wood Elves were released on Blood Bowl 3, so that's
true.
Maybe why they dropped that as well. It's an easy piece, so maybe I'm getting overexcited. But, you know, it was a bit of a bloody left field, I felt, but yeah.
And once per game, dodge on a 2+?
Dodge on a 2+. Like once into
one?
Anywhere.
Hey, just on the news front, we don't have any news for the Christchurch Blood Bowl League. I don't know if Simon had a chance to share this, but we now have a cat that plays Blood Bowl in Christchurch.
I haven't had a chance to share that, I have to say.
Jesse Jr. arrived back from kindy and said, "Dad, kid in my class, their cat plays Blood Bowl." And I was a bit taken aback by this, and I said, Can you tell me a bit more about this? And I thought maybe we can recruit them for the league. And she said, "Yeah, not that silly board game, real Blood Bowl."
Oh, okay.
And it's that's definitely got me interested. I said, "Tell me more." And she said, "Well, she bit the head off a bird and she rolled it all around the yard. There was blood everywhere."
So there we go. Well, you know, that's children's education these days.
There we go.
Even animals getting in on it. And I thought that's quite timely with the gnome team. Maybe we can have a cat player. Mm-hmm. Neutralizes the opponent, the gnome goose.
That's yeah. It. Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, I can put across through that my notes there. Cat plays Blood Bowl with dead bird. Right, there you go. I'll cross that one out. All right. Other news.
On with the script.
We didn't actually cover something that I wanted to just the other week. We've had so much fun and games at the start of this year. We've actually been real busy. Like, our recording sessions have gone full time. Your edits of them even are still pushing up towards the hour, I think, aren't they?
I had to go over an hour last time with Baz. Hour and 5 minutes.
You know, that happens, but look, and part of the reason for that was that you sent out a bunch of stats a while ago about our, because how many episodes did we hit and we got all the stats?
Oh yeah, that well 25. We were on 20. That was a 25.
There we go.
Yes.
So this is what, I don't know, 27 now or something like that.
This is our 28th. This is our 28th episode we're on to today.
Happy 28th, everyone. Oh, happy 28th. Thanks, Simon. But look, I just wanted to sort of touch on it very quickly because I thought some of this was pretty cool and kind of weird. But yeah, the ones that I wanted to sort of look at were things like, well, we've got, what, 4,508 listens, would that be right? Or listeners?
Honestly, this is quite exciting. I was really hoping that we'd get there like by now, but we haven't. We are 13 listens off the 5,000 listens mark now.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Well, it was really cool because, okay, New Zealand, 1,700, so that's, you know, nearly half of those. We've got USA, 786, Aussie, 749,
yep.
UK, 586, and Canada, 132. So, hello there, all of our crazy overseas people who listen.
That's it, yes. It's quite exciting. But,
What gets me even more excited about that, those are, you know, English language, and presumably they can roughly understand us, which, you know, it's the best we could hope for. But we've had 81 listens from Germany, 65 from Denmark, 39 from the Netherlands, 29 from Finland, and 28 from Belgium. So welcome and hi to you guys as well. That's pretty cool.
It is very cool. It's very, very cool. And it goes on from there. Like, that was just the top 10 that I posted.
Of course, we're very big down under, aren't we?
We're very
steady,
big.
Steady.
Very big.
Shocking.
Should we get ourselves t-shirts? Pauteroa, big down under. There we go.
Big down
That's
under.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. So we are, all of our podcasts are hosted on a web organization called Acast. So it brings up like a little map for me, actually, which is quite exciting. And to show me where in the world, and it colors all the countries that people are listening in blue.
Good.
And I can just check whether what happened in the last 30 days or in the entire time we've been going. So there's some French people. 38 French people have listened to us.
Oh, good.
32.
It's probably the same person 38 times, let's face it. 32, hi there in France, how are you?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
32 people in Finland. There's people in Mexico. 28 people in Mexico.
Mexico. Yeah. Oh, let's go.
22 people in Singapore, or 22 listens. So it might be one person who's listened to 22 episodes of our podcast. You see what I mean? Spain, Sweden, Taiwan, the Dominican Republic, Vietnam, Fiji, India.
I want to see a Fiji versus Dominican Republic game. I want to see this. This to me, yeah. I don't know how we're going to happen, but it needs to happen.
Yeah.
And there's. This kind of it might segue into what we're talking about, but like with Fiji and, you know, is the space in the Pauteroa Provincial Championship for a Pacifica side to come in?
100%, definitely.
There's got to be, hasn't it?
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
We'd love that.
Yeah,
we'd love that.
Definitely.
Well, look, we might even let people from Stewart Island play. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, the Chathams.
They're all Pacific Islands, right?
They are, absolutely. Yeah. It's very exciting. Right, come on, Chatham Islands Blood Bowlers.
Both of you.
Get yourselves to the PPC Christchurch.
Alrighty, well, what's the next levels that we're moving on to from here? We're heading on to the big news.
Big news?
Yeah.
And the main reason that Jesse's giving up is the evening of looking after his family, which is the PPC 2024.
Yeah, after a couple of missteps and accidentally releasing the player pack without having NAF bureaucrats sign off on it, we have got full approval. This is a confidential memo, but what the hell, I'm going to read it out online anyway. official feedback on my player's pack was, oh my god, it was something wild. sensible and good.
Oh, so that's boring. I'm
proud to present
now.
the sensible and good players pack for PPC. That's the nicest thing I've ever had said about something I've done.
So, I was going to say, are you sure you did this one? Have you copied somebody else's work here, Jesse?
Oh, do you know what? One of the little things that I did add, I just noticed is missing from the rule set, and I think Tricky's unfortunately found that omission and exploited it. So we'll come back to that later. But no, we definitely got some help with this one. Special shout out to Doomfox for all his work. He was my expert consultant on tiers. So yep. He was a person who suggested that Snotlings shouldn't be tier one, that was just me hating them. So, it was good to have him on board.
I must admit, I was kind of surprised that you've kind of given a little boost to Black Orcs by shoving them down a couple of tiers. So I'm expecting big things from them this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know my love-hate relationship with Black Orcs. I have been...
I don't know what you mean.
I've been trying to play them a lot on Fumble because I was like, okay, I just got to be open-minded, but I still think I'm right. Yeah.
I am open-minded, but I'm definitely right.
That's about where I'm at with that one. I have a message from Andrew, Mr. Ramchop, and he said, I can say anything I want as long as I remind you guys that nobody has a chance of beating Wellington. So, I promised to pass that on. I'm not sure how.
That's fine. I can't help but feel like some sort of, called in bomb threat to the airport might change their minds there. But, just saying.
The player pack's good to go. The intention was a pretty kind of conservative, straightforward player pack. Nothing too wild. I thought it's a kind of I don't know, maybe this is the most serious that any New Zealand Blood Bowl event gets. So I didn't really want to make it a wacky one. And team building rules are based pretty heavily on the last World Cup. I thought that they had a few people participate in it, so it was probably pretty reasonable. And I guess the major point of deviation from that model was the tiers. So I'm keen to hear people's thoughts.
Should we talk through, because the bit we've got here is just the roster creation, so people... No, but no doubt that the organized regions will be shuffling their papers already and just it written things. But
Claymore's got he's got his list already. He's already chosen all of the ones for everyone.
It was on the dossier.
He knows. Yeah, he knows who's playing who and what's the lowdown.
Okay, cool.
We have a little look through the tiers or the roster
we've
creation.
We've got the fairly standard sort of 1.15 gold pieces to spend on the roster. Player costs and advancement costs are all to come out of that.
Yes.
Squad limits. Each coach selected for a squad must use a different team and race. Squads cannot contain multiples of a race. You cannot hire the same star player more than once in the teams that are part of that squad.
Ooh.
Those are probably some of the more, not interesting, but certainly the I think we had something similar last year with the PPC, but I don't see that many, or perhaps I just don't play that many team-based kind of tournaments, and so that's worth remembering.
Mm.
Talk to your teammates. Who'd have thought it?
Well, we had, last year we had the boys from Palmerston North each took a different Chaos team, which I thought was quite clever. The rest of us didn't think it through quite as cleverly as they did, so... Yeah, good on them.
With that section of rules, so I think that's pretty much identical to the previous PPC.
Mm-hmm.
The one point of difference, I think, is that looking at star player costs is a couple of the star players that have just had their cost increased or had a cost added to them.
Yeah.
So they will cost you a number of primary skills.
The primary skills trade-off option as opposed to the SPIP sort of based one that was happening as well.
I think so.
How do you mean? Sorry?
Last time around, there was you had a certain number of SPIPs that you needed or you could spend, and you had a SPIP cost 4-star players as well. But that's been somewhat streamlined by doing a sort of skill swap.
Oh, so I see it's what just you
straight
mean. Sorry,
skills
sorry.
Instead of spending spins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Miles away. Sorry, yeah, absolutely. Good on you. Totally.
That's all right. And I did notice that as well. There's no Highlander rule that I can see for the star players as well. So unless I've overlooked something, last time around that was a bit of a gamble. Like if you and your opponent have the same star player, game over. Sorry, not allowed. This time around, that's gone. So, in other words, it's a little bit friendlier from that point of view because you know you don't want to spend a oodle amount of money on a star player to have them disappear on you for the game. Unlike my Griff, you know, I'm over it now. It's okay. I'm over it. It's fine.
Yep. You can have some double hack flim action if you wish.
If you wish.
Yeah. Exciting.
Nobody wishes that though. Nobody. We should. If we are looking at the tiers, we got to say, like, last year, what we saw was a lot of dwarves. There was a lot of... What else was there a lot of?
I think everyone had a dwarf team. Like, every single had a dwarf team as one of their players, didn't they?
A lot of chorfs.
There was a chorf and a dwarf.
Dwarfs, chorfs, lizardmen.
I think there was only two of us with lizzies.
Was there?
Yeah.
Dark elves?
Oh, yeah, there were Dark Elves, weren't there, I think? Oh, no, hang on, sorry, I'm getting mixed up with the World Cup.
World Cup was a huge amount of Dark Elves. We saw a lot of tier one. So I'm wondering, Jesse, so I've looking, and we'll look at the tiers. Have you done anything that you think, it might be a bit more edge, or are we going to look a bit more just as bad as it was, or what you think?
So... Yeah, I didn't attend the previous PPC, but there was quite a lot of post-event feedback, and that was that the team formations, the team racial selection was like a little bit generic in the sense that everyone took an underworld, or most teams took an underworld because they were just a powerhouse. Most teams took a dwarf team to counter the underworld, and then most teams took a something to counter the dwarfs.
Yeah.
So I guess my goal when I was trying to organize the tiers and the different skill packages and the star player costs was to try and kind of encourage a little bit of diversity, maybe see if we can get people to break away from that. So I think, if I can remember correctly, humans, and this was a really good Doomfox suggestion, have dropped from tier one to tier two. Yeah. I think that might make them a little bit more appealing.
Yeah.
And allow for a little bit more kind of diversity in the build. Otherwise, I think they just kind of load them up with guard and hope for the best.
Don't do a Griff build. Don't do it.
Oh, poor Simon.
I've sort of managed to bite my tongue there when Jesse said, "Oh, and someone, you know, the most people took someone to counter the dwarves." Yes, a Welshie in this case. Just feed them for the dwarves. Five games. I'm not bitter. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay.
So the undead, vampires were a hard one to place. They ended up in tier two. The logic there was that with the right skill stack, they can become pretty heinous. So if you have them in tier three, you can get some quite nasty vampires. Snotlings got boosted up to tier four because I don't think they function as like a traditional stunty team.
Okay.
They're more like a kind of a big, horrible stuff delivery system. I think you load them up with...
That's a good way of putting it. Absolutely. You're totally right. Yeah.
Stuff delivery system.
So what you've done there is you've meant so they can take a star player, but they can't take two. And that's...
Yeah, that's
quite clever.
Yeah. Leaving them in tier five with two star players, a whole bunch of cheap players, and the pretty interesting kit that they get was going to be too horrible. And what else? I think the other one was you pay a premium for gutter runners in terms of star players.
Yep.
And I thought that might kind of make people consider, are they prepared to pay that cost to, say, field a gutter runner with their chorfs, which is, I don't know, it seems to kind of like...
Yeah. So both Skitter, Stab, and Hack Flim is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Three and two, respectively.
Yes.
And I think that maybe that just kind of helps maintain kind of the flavor of a Chorth team rather than being a, a gutter runner delivery vehicle or a gutter runner protection squad.
I totally see where you're coming from. It's, and I think, yeah, it did come up last year that we were, there was only so many teams or so many Blood Bowl races were represented at PPC. And so, yeah, whatever. And a number of people did say, oh, look, it would be cool if, and so.
I did like the easy suggestion, though, and that was that each player on the team has to have a team from a different tier. I thought that was suitably bonkers that it would, you know, really, really pull it apart. But I'm fine with a nice easy evolution too. I think that's a nice step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think I considered that on the early stages of the pack build, but it really complicated the matchups.
True. Yeah. It makes the matchups kind of a little bit cookie cutter as well, doesn't it? Really. So.
I couldn't work out a way to create a sort of a system whereby I thought there was going to be a reasonable degree of fairness in terms of the matchups.
Look, my half-baked idea that sounded good in the pub is quite obviously a lot better than the one you put all this time and effort into. So, you know, let's just leave it at that before we fall out. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Well, and I guess the last thing I want to say about the tiers was getting Underworld sorted was a real problem. I didn't want to make them, you know, like a 0.5 or some S tier team. Mm. So that's why there's been some pretty heavy restrictions on the skills that are available to that tier. And I'm hoping that that's enough to encourage people to maybe look at tier two. I think there's some really, really solid teams in tier two.
Yep.
Yep.
And with much more generous kind of skill packs. So maybe that'll work.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely.
Should we have a wee talk through the tiers then, starting at the top?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah? So for tier one, we have Chaos Dwarfs, Dark Elves, Dwarves, Lizardmen, Orcs, Undead, Underworld, and Wood Elves. And they get 6 primary skills, or 4 primary skills and 1 secondary skill, or 3 primary skills and access to 1 star player. So anything tickling your fancy there?
Not so much for me, no. I don't think I would take a tier one team in this tournament. But that's only because I did last time. Do you see what I mean? I think I'd personally.
Yeah.
I've been so focused on making Black Orc lists, I haven't really looked as high up the tier chart.
Well, it does have, you know, what we mentioned at the start. You can, if you go 4 primary skills, 1 secondary skill, you're obviously looking at Dwarves and you sneaky get roller.
Yeah,
that's all I can see.
Mm. Definitely.
Sneaky get death roller and then a few skills on those dwarves, and that's the only way to have fun with dwarves, is it? Yeah, I think. I don't know. I don't play dwarves much. At all, really. So
I think there's with the 4 primaries and the 1 secondary rather than the 6 primaries. If you go with that middle one, 4 primaries and 1 secondary, there's some fun to be had with the Chaos Dwarfs, because I think you could put a secondary onto a Bull Centaur.
What? Yeah. Well, that's crazy, surely. Why would you upskill a... Yeah, no, okay.
Yeah.
What I'm looking at here, though, is there anything about, like, spamming skills? Like, have I missed something here? I can't see something that says max 4 skills of the same one. Or anything like that.
No, 2 on 1 player.
Yeah, right. So you can't stack them, but 6 primary skills, so that's what Dwarves with Guard then. Is that what we're talking about?
100%, if that's what you're into.
You're a bad human if you do that. You're a bad human.
You're welcome to do it, but nobody will talk to you.
And the other one, if you go your chops with Hackflam, you lose all 3 primary skills.
you can have generic dwarfs and Hackflam.
Yeah.
And Hackflam. Which is still competitive.
Oh, completely.
I think so. Listening to Toffer talk about doing clever things with Underworld, you can also do basic things with Lizardmen. I think 4 Saurus with Block and a Blodge Skink. That's a pretty money build.
Yeah.
Get Glottal Stop in there.
Oh, you and your mum stuff. You just can't help yourself, can you? Jeepers, bud.
Two crocs I can't build. Three primary skills.
What I want to know is, do you have a painted mini of Glottalstop?
Yes, I do.
Oh, there we go. Right, okay. Now the truth comes out. Now the truth comes out. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So on to tier two, perhaps.
Tier two. Jump in.
Yeah.
All right, Tuff, do you want to do that? Do you want to break it down?
Okay, sorry. Tier two. Amazons, Elven Union, High Elves, Humans, Necromantic, Norse, Skaven, Slan, and, as Jesse's already mentioned, Vampires. And they can have either 7 primary skills, or 5 primary skills and 1 secondary skill, or 4 primary skills and access to 1 star player.
Yeah.
And I think this is the tier that I would live in personally. I think I'd bring Elven Union.
Well, I was just going to say, what I've managed to have a look at here as well, I did a quick sort of scan through the 2023 rules, and the ones that have dropped to this tier, so they're always the ones that I gravitate towards because, you know, I'm a cheesy little bugger like that one, was Amazons have dropped down from tier one, Humans have dropped down from tier one, as of Norse and Skaven.
I'd go with Elven Union from this group. That I've played Elven Union a few times in tournaments. I'm a big fan of the Elven Union team anyway, because I think their catchers and their blitzers are just two really cool players. But the big problem with Elven Union, like a number of elf teams, is stupidly expensive players. So the 1.1 allows you to bring both blitzers and maybe even 3 of the catchers. And with 7 primary skills, we can start blodging up the blitzers for starters and putting a bit more block and dodge on a few of the other players in there as well.
With 7 primary skills, would you start to think about maybe a skill stack or two?
Yeah, maybe. Again, on those blitzers, I think, because you can turn the blitzers into ball carriers quite easily because they've still got the high movement and things like that. So, yeah, definitely.
I do wonder about the Slan being in this tier. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't play Slan.
I'm not a Slan expert at all. No,
I don't know what I'm doing with them. Yeah, but yeah. But
I remember having a conversation with Smeeborg a few years ago about Slan, and he was using them, using the leap to create the opportunity to crowd surf. So,
oh yeah,
get one guy over. Jumping over so that they're in behind, and then get a guy in the front and crowd surf from there I can't think how he managed to pull it off. He did it several times in one game.
Yeah.
The decision making behind this tier two Slan that was discussed came down to the difference between a kind of a developed Slan team and a start of the league Slan team. I looked at playing Slan in the local league, Slan or Slan, and they're just so fragile and so expensive.
Yeah.
But the additional gold really opens up the build. And then once you get to scatter those skills through them, I think they become a lot more powerful. They're always going to be a high variance team. But 7 primary and the secondary was just too good. And I think the teams that you made were really going to cause problems. So they got bumped up. The really tricky ones at this tier were High Elves and Slan. I felt Slan needed to come up, but part of me really wanted to drop High Elves further. The only thing that stopped me doing it was the recent win rates for High Elves under the 2020 rule set. It just didn't. It's based on the rate at which people were winning games with them. Seemed fair to put them down with the scum like Black Orcs.
Yep.
So they had to stay in tier two.
I think, like a lot of elf teams, 2020 has not been super kind to them in terms of ball handling because of the passing stat.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the high elves carry a bit of wasted TV, perhaps, in some of the skills that are assigned to their thrower.
Yeah,
they're paying for things that I prefer not to. So I don't know. That was a tricky one with that tier. That was probably some of the hardest.
Fair enough.
I think definitely the Skaven almost stand out for me as well. I'm like, ooh, 7 primary skills on a Skaven team.
Yeah.
Yeah, or dangerous. Or a Block Roger.
Block Roger. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah.
You've got him now. Calm down. Calm down.
Oh, I'll get myself ready to edit out an hour of
I know. All right. Make sure you cut it now. Cut it
here from here onwards. Okay, cool.
Sorry, I'm not sure what I've started with that one.
Later. Poor Tricky.
I don't know.
And here we are an hour later after Duncan talking about Drogas. We thought we'd get back on with the rest of the podcast.
Okay, so that after that brief stop,
the brief, you know, 58 and a half minute aside, should we move on to tier three?
Yeah.
Which isn't numbered, weirdly enough. Tier 1 and Tier 2 are called Tier 1 and Tier 2, but Tier 3 is not for some reason.
Oh, it is on my pack.
It's on my one as well. Have you got the most recent one or the older one?
I obviously haven't, so I've done something wrong.
You got the draft pack.
I wrote the number 3 in front of it. There you go. It's all right. My pencil did the job.
Are you using a paper copy?
No, he's writing with pencil on the screen, on the computer screen.
Tier 3's... Sorry. Tier 3's got all my favourite teams. I'll read this one out.
Go ahead.
Starts off with the powerhouse that is Blackhawks.
Yes.
The once mighty Chaos Chosen. Yep. Imperial Nobility, Khorne, Nurgle, and Tomb Kings.
And from sort of quick review, Blackhawks and Tomb Kings have gone down a tier since 2023. So ones to watch, and you know, bearing in mind A, Jesse made this rules pack, and B, you know, he's been the one who's been harassing me online about my love for Blackhawks. I'm kind of concerned about where he's gone with this one now.
I would like to set the record straight. I didn't harass your love of Blackhawks. I just argued with you a lot that they were terrible. So you can like what...
That's totally a different thing. Yeah. That's completely different.
You're welcome to like whatever you like.
Yeah, you deserve everything you get, Simon.
I didn't realize, I'd forgotten that Tomb Kings have gone down. I think they're a cool team. I'd love to play Tomb Kings. I hope more people play them. They're always interesting to play and interesting to play against. I think they reward good play and punish mediocre play or dropping balls
and also rain. So
I had a bit of a thought about Tomb Kings in the car on the way to work this morning, because I know I was listening to both down. And they were talking about, what might be done to, you know, when GW are bringing out the legacy teams and they're tweaking them, changing them, partially to make them a little bit more interesting and partially maybe to fend off some of the third party miniature creators, and what might they do for Chorfs and High Elves. And it just popped into my head that in a Tomb Kings team, you could replace the ogres with like big scorpions.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that would look pretty. Anyway,
that would be awesome. Yeah. There's a secret league, the Dust Goblins, who've got like giant scorpions and bone giants and all kinds of real cool things in them. Yeah,
it's a sort of rubbish bimbling through my brain.
They'll be mummified geese. No.
Get all silly. Look, we talked about this before. We've got, like, you know, anthropomorphic animals getting stuck into it. We're going to have geese stuff. And freaking all... Oh, Jesus.
More the merrier.
Yeah.
Now we're on to scorpions.
I love Toffer's idea. I'd like to see the next box set with gnomes versus strength 5 scorpions with claw and stab.
Claw and
four of those in the front row.
Definitely.
What's your badging? What's your badge going to do versus that?
Yeah.
What's your badge?
Claw stab. I'll take that team. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But everyone's got no hands.
That's it. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to make a bold call here, and this is a call out to the Wellington captain. And I know, I'm pretty certain he is going to take from this tier, and he is going to pick Imperial Nobility, and he'll bring his team Azar. To the Pautoroa Provincial Championship, because he's mastering them at the moment, and I think, you know, with 7 primary skills and 1 secondary, Imperial Nobility could be dangerous, and this almost is your Morg tier. Tier 3 could be your Morg tier. You could be like saying, oh, okay, I'll give up 3 primary skills to make you blow. +2, whatever that big egghead's got. You know, and then you just get 2 primary skills and Morg. Maybe.
Love it. Yep, absolutely.
Maybe you've not got enough gold though.
So what teams can he play on though in tier 3?
Well, he could play on nobility, couldn't he?
He could play with nobility, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Nurgle, maybe. But
their nobility is so overpriced, though. I think it'd be pretty hard.
It'd be
hard.
It might not just be skills you're giving up to get them. You might be giving up most of your positionals as well.
Yeah.
A team of peasants in Morgue.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, that's totally Imperial nobility.
He would love that. Yeah. He would love that.
Yeah.
Do it.
Very good.
And Khan will be good. Like five primary, two secondary skills on Khan. I reckon.
Yeah, again.
Oh, you could have a real good side there.
Yeah, you could put dodge on a Brilliant. On a Khorne Gore and get a ball carrier out of it.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
for sure. Tier four.
Can I do that one?
Go for
Chaos
it.
Renegades, Old World Alliance, Snotlings.
That was beautifully done, Simon.
Thank you. It's like I can read using my eyes.
Which is the crappiest team, Simon? What's your pick for worst team in Tier 4?
Oh, I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to say it's probably OWA.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, should we cut out the next hour of Tricky ranting about the OWA again?
Poor Tricky.
OWA, you got starting block, you've got you got some starting frenzy, you've got bloody Shoreham, starting Shoreham, you've got what do you not have actually? Starting dodge on the capture.
Do you know what I really like about Old World Alliance, Tricky? Having Lona on pretty much every second player. That's awesome.
Oh yeah.
It's such a highlight.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You don't worry about those crazy dwarves.
Is it the substandard dwarves that get Lona?
The dwarves that even the dwarves don't like. Yeah.
I don't know if you have that. Poor Tricky.
Yeah. I know. But, you can, bit of guard in there. Lots of block, wrestle. OWA, you could do a lot with that many skills. You know, you could turn
them into real dwarves.
Yeah. You'd have to spend all your skills just to get them to actual dwarf kind of strength and then make the humans do all the work. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
And welcome back everybody from our 46-minute interlude for Old World Alliance with Duncan Tricky this evening. I thought we could perhaps look at the other two teams in the same tier, which include Chaos Renegades and Snotlings, just to loop around.
I love it. I think we've discussed the Snotlings, so one star player on the Snotling team, I think, is a really clever idea.
Well, but if you did go with Morgue and Snotlings, Morgue Snotlings, you'd then cut yourself down to three primary skills.
Yeah, agreed. That's true.
You'd probably, would you want something on your trolls? Maybe guard on your troll, don't move it at all.
Yeah,
I don't know. Where else do you go?
This dirty player on three Snotlings.
Dirty player, back dirty player. Oh my god, yes. Yeah, I think you get that. Yeah. And then with your Chaos Renegade, two secondary skills. That's two block big guys.
Yeah.
One Juggernaut on your Minotaur or Rogue. You're away at the races.
Yeah, you are.
Great day.
Because you can put something on the Elf and you can put something on the Skaven. That would be a fun team as well. To play,
it would be a fun thing. Yeah, we want to see Renegades there.
Well, my second edition Minotaur just arrived in the post. Actually,
Trader. Hey, Troll Trader, good on you. Nice,
sweet as
grand.
Right, the top tier.
Yeah, who's going to take number five?
I'll do that one because it's got my favorite team in it. The beautiful, beautiful halflings, and then goblins and ogres as well in that one. Ogres, you could do a runt punter and a string of noblars and then two star players.
Yeah.
You could do that with that
Six
team.
Primary skills and three secondary skills on ogres would be nice as well.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd still let you down, but they'd look good on purpose.
Wow. Dude, just cheer up, will you?
Glasses half full with Tricky this evening. There you go. You're absolutely right. But what I mean is that's one of those teams that could become a star player delivery system without too much difficulty.
The thing about ogres is you don't get your blooming swarming as well, which annoys me. They could probably, they'd be even more competitive. Well, they might be competitive with swarming, but they, you know, those nobblers aren't very good at it.
No,
I don't understand that. But yeah, and flings would be fun.
Oh, always.
Yeah.
Because you've only got to score one touchdown and you've won the game, even if you lose. That's the cool thing about halflings.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like 8 primary and 2 secondary, there could be a good team hiding in the goblins.
And if you got a few bribes in there and stuff as well, if you think about, could work.
And goblins as well is always a good option if you're pushing for most cars or something like that.
Yeah. You play them well, tough, don't you, goblins?
No.
he plays them
quite the opposite. Well, I didn't win a single game with them when I took them to Mainland Bowl, but I did win most casualties, and that was the plan.
I got my biggest ever result against you.
Yeah, you did. Most casualties, wooden spoon. That was what I walked away from that tournament with.
Who brought that up? Fantastic. Good though. I think that's nice. You could pick something up there and do something. Definitely.
Yeah,
so I am looking towards that tier 4. Although, the team I have in my hand, my dirty little hand, is tier 1. So do you want to hear what I made?
Yes, please.
Here we go. So this is Prince Albert's Revenge, my wood elf. And I'm just testing you here, Jesse. So we've gone 1, Jordelf Fresh Breeze. 2, War Dancers. A Thrower. And then I've gone with 8 linemen, one reroll, and I've gone frenzy on both my war dancers and leader on my thrower.
Ah, clever.
So, there we go. And that's sacrificing, like, Jordel. I could fit more in with Jordel, and I could also have wrestle, sneaky get, and kick, which were the kind of things I gave up. But that's 12. 12 players. 12 players with Jordan. But he's probably not terminally legal, is he?
Sorry, Toffer, you're gonna.
No. I was just about to say that. Is he in the mix in terms of the fact that the rules aren't out for him yet?
I think the cutoff for new rules going in will be 6 weeks out from the event.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Right.
Yeah. I think there's a note under section 4 about roster creation. It's just any further errata or team releases may be included at the discretion of the tournament organizer up till 6 weeks before the tournament.
Right. So sorry. Tricky. No Jordel going to be allowed. Oh, that is upsetting.
We might tag on a skill cost, perhaps.
Yeah.
When their rules officially come out, that'll be something that I guess feedback will be sought, just to come up with a solution that everyone's happy with.
But I thought that would be a fun roster, though.
Oh, it'd be a great roster. You'd have a lovely time.
Hyper aggressive, eh?
Yeah.
Hyper aggressive. Yeah. I thought, like, yeah. So there you go, Wellington.
Wow, we're just serving them up tonight, aren't we? Jeepers.
Well, yeah.
I foresee a wood elves nobility game in the mix there somewhere.
Yeah.
That would
be good.
Yeah, definitely.
I got on the elf bandwagon as well, so I went for a high elf team.
Oh, yeah.
And went for 2 blitzers, 2 catchers, 2 throwers, and a bunch of linemen, just enough to have one sitting on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I took 3 rerolls. Put guard on one blitzer for the secondary, and then tackle on the other blitzer, put block on one catcher, leader on a thrower, block on a thrower, and sneaky get on a lineman. And I thought that just might be a pretty kind of cookie cutter, playing it safe, bit of everything team.
You end up with 4 rerolls though.
Yeah. I thought just have a bench because someone's going to get bashed out, or I'll snake the sneaky gets first foul and it'll be over.
Yeah. It's going to happen in at least one game, isn't it? Yeah.
Even with sneaky get, it's nice to know you got someone on the bench to let you foul a little bit more freely.
That's true. That is true. Yeah.
I was tempted to put that dump off on a high elf thrower just for a bit of familiarity, take advantage of the 2+, but in the end I wussed out and took block instead.
Instead of dump off. Oh, Jesse.
Very cool.
Yeah, I know.
No, Dumptop is awful, but it can work. It can work.
It works in your games, doesn't it, Tricky? You do love your Dumptop.
I do love it.
Quite
actually,
right,
yeah.
Too. Quite right, too. Day as well. Very nice. Nice one, everybody. Well, that'll be really cool. That'll be a really good event again, I think. And good on you for getting that organised, Jesse.
Yeah, no worries. Hey, can I do one slightly depressing shout out? And that is, if you're thinking about coming, have a look at the how much it costs and consider paying, because it would be awesome to have some money to start ordering prizes and stuff. I'm pretty sure that people are really into all of the different cool swag that we like to dole out at Blood Bowl tournaments. That seems to be a big part of the hobby, and it'll be real cool to be able to get those orders in and just get some custom dice and all those other stuff sorted. So
Get onto it, people.
Sorry to mention that, but
No, it's good.
No, you're dead right there, Jesse. I'm in the same boat down here. I'm kind of like, oh, I really want to order this and order that and order, and in the end, it kind of comes out of your own pocket a little bit, which is tough. It's tough on the old POs,
I was recently shocked to find out it could be a 3-month turnaround for custom dice orders. So that kind of put that into perspective for me.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's all right. We're here to help.
Sorry to be a downer. We got this. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Grand and groovy.
No, in the Tygo news, I have approached Smeabog to possibly come on board. And that is a possibility.
Of course, as a Queenstowner.
The Dunedin coaches are still circling rather slowly. I'm sure, no end of me posting things up in chat rooms saying, come on, guys, as well. See how we go. So and good people. So it's gonna be a great event.
I don't know if you guys have been tracking the Black Box 10 competition on Fumble, but Smeborg's just put in a pretty hot run, and I think he did very well in that, so I think he'd be a good addition to your team.
There you go.
Well, he would be just about an auto pick for the Otago team, and he is officially the highest NAF ranked here. I just looked at my NAF rank and it's not great. and plus he can call a good game. I even said to him, I said, listen, I'm captain in name at the moment, but maybe I would be happy to hand that mantle over.
Love it.
So should we just move on to other centre-based news?
Yes, indeed.
Just in case I disappear due to sick children intervention, one other thing to do with PPC, and Tricky just reminded me, one suggestion from Claymore when the rules pack came back was, had we considered running an open tournament alongside the PPC? At the moment, that is, we're kind of waiting to make the call based on how many provinces participate. If we get 12 teams, then we've kind of got to work out if there's space for something else to run.
Yeah.
But I think if there were 10 teams, it could be possible. So once the teams are kind of finalized, or finalized as they can be, if people thought that they might be interested in traveling for a open event that ran over the 2 days at the same time, I'd be really interested to hear from them, because I think if there's a definite interest in that, then it makes sense to have a look at how feasible it would be to run. And I think if it could be in the same space, it's just more people playing Blood Bowl, it's going to make for a really good atmosphere. So, yeah, once those teams are finalized in your region, if you have people who think they might like to do a little bit of traveling and play some Blood Bowl, if they make contact, it would be good to hear from them.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. Great idea.
Fair enough.
That'd be awesome. Awesome.
Should we do a quick whiz around the leagues?
I beg your pardon.
Don't
fair enough. Well, Toffer, yeah. Do you want to grab yours? You grabbed one there already. Do you want to do that one? Do that one.
Okay, cool. I'll just quickly. I think it's just something that we need to make a note of. The Tauranga Blood Bowl League had their final Gunboat Davitt versus Claymore Hill. Davitt taking bouncy jump arounds with his slan, and then James took his Chaos Chosen, and yeah, it was. Came down to the wire there by the sounds of things.
3-2 to James.
3-2 to James. 3-2 to James. So high scoring game for Chaos versus Slant.
Yeah, so, Chaos Chosen scoring 3 is not to be sniffed at.
No, absolutely. So there we are. So James is the winner up there in the Bay of Plenty.
and their tournament the weekend after next.
Yes, indeed.
And they got some lovely swag up there and stuff, and it's going to be a great event again.
Absolutely, yep.
And we'll. I think you can find the player pack somewhere. We haven't gone through that one.
I think it's on tournaments in here in Discord. Yeah. If not, there's a New Zealand Blood Bowl Facebook page. It'll be on there.
Yeah, yes. Definitely. So get yourself behind that, because that's always a good event as well. Yeah.
Grand. And then
actually, it's kind of a good segue, because one of the things that I've sort of we talked about coming into this was that we've had a lot of regional news. You know, the smaller centres over the last sort of couple of sessions. Not that's a bad thing; that's a really great thing. But you know, we've talked a lot about Hawke's Bay, Palmerston North, and of course now Tauranga as well. Mm. And of course, we like to fly our own flag for our little wee corners there of Marlborough and Otago and all that sort of jazz. So that's all real cool. But I think, either we were going to have a bit of a refocus and double check on the other folks on the bigger spots.
Major
there.
Major centres.
Indeed, because, they're still there. They've not gone away. Mm. Who have you managed to get a hold of then?
Speaking of the bigger centres there, we do have Auckland's round one has happened, and EJ is sitting at the top with his Corn team.
Looking good.
Looking
that's
good.
Not to be sniffed at. Corn, we've had Corn quite high in Christchurch last year as well. I think that's just they're doing surprisingly well. But well done.
Well,
EJ.
This is their round one, and
it's fine.
No, but EJ's already on 7 Kaz.
You're looking at the wrong thing here. I've got 2 games in.
Oh, okay. So I've got an older one.
You got an older one. I've got the. I says round one, but it's game played 2-1.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. No, you're right. I'm wrong. Sorry. So seven Cavs after 2 games. Oh, that's nowhere near as good. Oh, come on, EJ. Pull finger, brother. Jesus.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, I would like to point out that the only other person to come close or have the same sort of Cavs was another Corn team.
That's it.
So, I think we're picking up a bit of a trend here.
Tom's Corn team down there at 9th, with a similar Cavs score. Yeah, for sure. That's a fairly.
There's leaking a few.
It's quite a bashy league by the looks of it up there this year.
Yeah, Corn, Orc, Delph, Nurgle, Lizards, Norse, Vamps, Corn, Black Orc, Skaven, Shambling Undead, Skaven, Norse. So you've got your lightest team as like Skaven.
I'm sure
must not have a Rogue, because who would take one of those?
Who would take one of those?
Yeah, it is good to see Skaven towards the bottom there. Sorry, Isaac and Wurimu. But it looks good. And I think you cut this out last time. I just say, obviously, Auckland, the limousine of the Blood Bowl community, the fantastic, and just like a big shout out to the work of Brad. And I don't know where he is, where his name is on this, but Brad is he draws and does some wonderful pictures, which I just love. So, thank you, Brad.
Good on you, Brad.
But 14 in that league, which is strong.
Yep, good numbers. Yep. Good numbers.
Yeah, good numbers. Mm. Yeah.
Should we dribble our way slightly further south to sunny Wellingtonians?
Please do.
All right, so we have an interesting mix here already, actually. We've got the Schwarzburg Slayers human team at the top, and 9 points already.
Felix, yep.
Matches played 6, is that, I think? That's what I would have to read that. Oh, we've got Ram Chop and Mushroomy in second and third place, so,
On 5 games played as well. So they're starting to also string out a little bit. So some of the people down the bottom of the table there have only played 3 games.
Yeah.
A couple of four there. But yeah, look, that's a good mix. What have we got there? We've got Elf Union, Tomb Kings, Underworld Denizens, Necro, Humans, Corn, Shambling Undead, Skaven, Skaven, Norse. So that's a pretty good mix.
Yeah.
Not a bad mix. Yeah. Again, and only the one elf team? Well, two, I suppose, with the Delves, isn't it? So
they don't count.
I don't know how to answer that. I genuinely don't.
I know the Flint Lockwood at the bottom with the snowplows, the Norse team. I know he's fairly new. Mm. Just dropped into the Discord a few weeks ago, and then he's obviously playing up in Wellington, a very competitive league. So
on your Flint, I think just weather the storm, get some experience under your belt.
Weather the storm, because Flint Lockwood from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. You see, I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Whenever I see Flint Lockwood's name on the Discord, I always in my head I hear Flint Lockwood, but spoken by Mr. T, because he plays one of the other characters in that movie. Yeah,
very cool, Duffy. Very cool.
Yep. It's a good movie,
and what that helps bring me up to sunny little Ōtautahi Christchurch here then at the moment then. So
yeah, Christchurch is experiencing a little bit of a resurgence. I was a little bit worried about the state of play here, considering our league dropped by about 10 players. But
at one point I think we were talking about it was 26 last year starting, and I think there was talk, like in January, of there being about 12. Now, I was expecting a bit of a drop-off. You can't expect everyone to stay on all. Some people want to try it. Some people don't keep on playing. But by my count, we're on 18 this year. So still, you know, that's pretty strong. I'm happy with that.
Very cool.
Yeah, 18's pretty good. Again, we've got some problems with variety in terms of teams. Everyone seemed to have picked the usual suspects, but that's all right. It's a bit of a themed league at the moment. Out of the people who have joined our league, we have got some pretty strong players that have joined. I, after listening to Tricky last podcast talking about how playing Lizard Men was playing Blood Bowl on easy mode, I got roughed up by Stephen, one of the new players, despite having three lizards with block and a skink with sneaky get.
Yep.
And you can't ask for much more. We had a really, really awesome game, and I got taken out in turn 16. So respect, Stephen. Yeah. We're looking forward to playing more games with you, buddy.
Good work.
Yeah, well, look, here's a good segue, because I got this off our friendly league commissioner, Adam Oakes, and I said, hey, can you send me some, you know, quick update? And he said, look, we're still two games to go for the month, but currently noteworthy are Mr. Stephen Addison, who's up at the top with our league commissioner, and it's his first season, so good on him. And if Jimmy Lee Wilson also wins his game, and we're still waiting the result for this month on that one, that means two out of the top three will be brand new players.
That's very cool.
It was.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and one other thing that's not shown in the stats that we're sort of bandying around while we're talking about this was, and noteworthy is Tom Zachary of, Mainland Bowl fame, has a current 12-3 Kaz count after two games with his Korn.
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry, Shambling Undead. Shambling Undead.
Yeah.
And what I find so despicable about this is that he often gets really, really high Kaz teams. He's played Korn. He started, you know, with everybody's friendly dwarf team in his first year in the league. And the thing is, he's such a lovely guy. I think he's got some inner demons that he's got issues with. There's something going on there. Tom, I'm worried about you, buddy.
Is he really a lovely guy?
Exactly.
But that's good numbers as well, isn't it? Good numbers, new players coming in, and being competitive, which is awesome.
Mm.
We've definitely, I feel like the new people that have joined are likely to be with us for a while. I noticed one of the, Matt, came around before the league started, played a couple of games to get his kind of head around the rules before the start of the league. Mm. We played a couple of halves, so I just thought that's a good sign of someone who's pretty into it. I'm really keen to see how his orcs are doing. I think we've got a friendly this Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, sounds good.
Very cool.
Wait till next season. It'll be auto-fill gnomes. Just everywhere.
I foresee a stunty league in Christchurch in the future, actually. I think once that known box drops.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't be able to stop people. We ran one in Blenheim just last year. We did like a stunty, like a tournament league almost, you know. That was good fun. Good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should possibly, because that was like it's a slow burner league, you know, it's once a month. So I reckon like if you sandwiched in a monthly stunty league as well, would be fun. And then they could maybe play against the big people in the last game of the round or something fun as well. And sure. That was another thing in Auckland that happened. They had a seventh halfling off, but unfortunately, we didn't get any of the news in from that. We were I was kind of reaching out, but we didn't hear how it went and stuff. So,
we'll talk about it next time. See if we can get the information. We'll talk about it next time.
Yeah
for sure.
Christchurch, the Christchurch Seven Seasons, the Sevens event is coming up, and if you're in Christchurch, there is going to be a training session, just to make sure that no one comes in and sweeps us. So, yeah, make contact. We're in the process of scheduling it. It could be as early as next week that the training sessions begin. But yeah, if you're interested, jump on Discord, or even better, just so that no one else can know, post on the Christchurch Blood Bowl community page, and we'll send you some information about the secret training location.
Beautiful.
We'll get your squad up to scratch.
There'll be a montage.
Yeah.
There's not enough snow on the hills to do a montage. It's just, you know, chopping wood in the snow, topless. It's all good.
Very cool.
I may well be in the Christchurch area in the school holidays, so no, if it was conveniently placed, that'd be fantastic.
Awesome. We can schedule an extra session to accommodate you, Tricky. Just give us a yell.
Yeah, we'll introduce you to concepts such as dice and the pitch. And I'm sure it won't be hosted in a garage near Barrington. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh yeah. And I'll bring some of the Secret League Seven teams up to infest. Yeah. Brilliant.
Great. All right. Well, has that covered all of our topics for this evening, gentlemen?
I think we've met all our KPIs.
Well, Jesus, look at that. Steady. Throwing out TLAs all over the show. Alright, thanks everyone for coming and joining us here on Pau Te Roa. Hope you've had a good night. We've covered from the top to the bottom, and of course looking forward to the PPC later on in the year. Thanks to Jesse for coming, and as always, thanks to Duncan and Toffa.
Thanks for listening to Pau Te Roa, the New Zealand Blood Bowl podcast.